What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Email is pete@thepetecallinershow.com. And oh my gosh, no wonder why, like, my feed dropped out from the... I was like, what happened to the... I was monitoring the White House press briefing, and the feed dropped. No wonder. Okay. You can email pete@thepetecallinershow.com. I got a message here from Kevin, who says that the center should be shut down by executive order by sundown on January 6, 2025. Right. Yes, this... the ERPO... I forgot the name of this thing now. ERPO, Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, but they're calling it the center. The Justice Department launching the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, or the NERPORC, or as they call it, the center. You know what? I almost forgot. I did forget. Happy birthday, Obamacare. I totally didn't get you anything, but that's okay, because Obamacare doesn't ever get us anything either. Awful. 14. It is 14. So it's just going to become completely unbearable as all teenagers. Barack Obama taken to Twitter over the weekend to tout how 14 years ago today, I signed the Affordable Care Act into law. The average family health insurance premium since that time has increased by about 100%. The premiums, right? So your monthly premium that you pay, these are the employer-based policies. Your premiums have gone up. The average, so now here's a defender of the program, James Surowiecki. I don't know how he pronounces it, but he's a writer at New York Magazine or whatever, but he's a defender of the Obamacare. And he says, look, if you take the costs from 1996 to 2010, so the 14 years prior to Obamacare, right? Premiums rose 168%. If you take the 14 years after Obamacare, premiums rose 75%, less than half as fast. So, yeah, Obamacare bent the cost curve. That's a success. Of course, you would have to forget what we were promised, right? Which James Surowiecki apparently does forget, but I don't. I remember I was sitting in this chair. I had six folders packed with material, like the manila folders, right? And I had them all labeled healthcare number one, number two, number three, number four. I had six different folders of all of the material about Obamacare, because I was started off doing fill-in work as a host and then became a full-time host right at this time. And the Affordable Care Act took up a lot of content time on the radio and my show. And we did deep dives. We did interviews with experts and such. So I remember the arguments. I remember the pitch. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Turned out to be the lie of the year. Literally. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Not true. Regarding this was that the premiums that the Affordable Care Act was going to reduce our premiums. It would make it, as is in the name, the Affordable Care Act. It was supposed to drop the premiums. It was supposed to lead to a decline in the premiums, and it has not. Also, the share of compensation that healthcare premiums gobble up. If you go back to 1988, it was about 8%. So 8% of your compensation was used to pay for healthcare premiums. By 2019, that figure is now almost 18%. So you can say, yes, that it has made coverage more accessible, quote unquote, right? Because a couple things to keep in mind here, right? Care is not coverage. They are different. I understand that coverage can be used to get care, absolutely, but they are not the same things. So coverage with like, so for example, Medicaid, right? You get Medicaid and you're like, hey, I'm covered. Yay. Okay, but now what if a doctor that you want to go to doesn't accept Medicaid as a payment? Your coverage doesn't mean crap to that doctor. So it doesn't matter. Do you have access? No, you don't have access. You have coverage, but you don't have care, right? You don't have the care. This is why during the debate over whether or not government should take over a sixth of the U.S. economy through, you know, essentially fascism, which is, you know, a veneer of a private sector, but you regulate everything so strictly that you basically don't have any kind of free market, free enterprise competition going on. And that's what Obamacare did by creating the you know, the gold and the silver and the bronze plans. And by the way, I've used the plan and I got heavily subsidized for the year that I used the Obamacare open market plan, the silver plan. It cost me, I want to say, $10 a month until, of course, I got a job. And then I had to pay back the previous year's subsidies, thousands of dollars afterwards. Access, quality, cost. Those are the three factors, right? You want unlimited access for everybody. You want the highest possible quality, and you want the lowest cost. And you can have two of those three things. Which two would you like? Because you cannot have all three. They're different pressures. So if you give everybody access and you cut the price for everybody, you're going to suffer in quality, right? Access, quality, and pricing. I love, though, that there are people out there on this 14th anniversary or birthday of Obamacare that still believe that the Affordable Care Act, despite its name, never promised to reduce the cost of health insurance premiums. No, that's not what we said. It's just going to bring down the cost of healthcare, just, I guess, in general, but not the price point that people face every paycheck, right? No, it's completely not what Obama said, even though I have the quote here. If you already have health insurance, the only thing that will change for you under this plan is the amount of money you will spend on premiums. That will be less. Quote, Barack Obama. Lot of gaslighting out there, folks. Lot of gaslighting. Stay safe. March 23rd was the 14th anniversary of the passage of Obamacare. In a piece over at Newsweek, Sally Pipes, who is the president, CEO, and the Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute, she wrote a book called False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All, talking about this very topic. She says, for the last decade, Obamacare has driven the cost of health coverage up and the quality of care down. It is long past time to advance market-oriented reforms that would actually yield more affordable care. We are now paying more for health coverage than ever before. In 2019, 5 years after Obamacare's cost-inflating regulations took effect, average premiums have more than doubled compared to what they were before the Affordable Care Act. Premiums have since continued to climb. The average family in last year paid 22% more for employer-sponsored coverage than they did in 2018, right? Deductibles have also gotten completely out of control. They are nuts. Thousands and thousands of dollars that we are now responsible for to pay first before any of the coverages start kicking in. And even then, your coverages are not 100% usually. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, King or Queen. But this is a limited-time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21+, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Got a Pete tweet, or actually, this is a message from Mark, who says, let insurance companies go across state lines, take away the regulations, and let capitalism do its thing. Yeah, remember these arguments that we had? 14 years ago, 15 years ago, we were battling back and forth and talking with experts and all of these different ideas, right? The mandated coverages and such, which now we all have, right? All of the plans that are offered, you don't get a lot of price competition, any really, because they all have to cover the same things. So you have no choice. So I have to pay for a maternity policy, which is silly. I don't want a maternity policy. I don't need one, right? Anyway, this fight was lost. And it was lost, and for people who weren't paying attention, for youngins who didn't know what all was going down, wait. I'm gonna run down some of the deals that got cut. For people who don't remember or don't know or weren't paying attention or weren't old enough to pay attention, like the Cornhusker kickback, remember that one? Or the Louisiana Purchase? Yeah, these were names that were created based on the corruption around the creation of Obamacare. Sally Pipes, writing at Newsweek, says Americans are paying more for coverage now than ever before. Deductibles have spiraled out of control. For mid-level silver plans, deductibles have doubled since 2014, having to spend more and more out of pocket before ever receiving a dime from their insurers may cause people to question why they're buying Obamacare insurance in the first place. See, for people who are, like, when I said I was on Obamacare Silver Plan for very cheap, $10 a month or some ridiculous amount of money, because when I lost my job in Asheville, I had no income because I lost my job in January. And so I go into the enrollment period. My wife isn't offered insurance at her employer, so it's both of us. So we have no insurance provider that we can go to except the exchange, quote unquote. The Obamacare exchanges. And at that point, I have no income. I then launch my podcast, and I can't prove a year's worth of income at that point because I just started it. So my income was zero. So we're running off of one person's salary. So we were heavily subsidized, which then, of course, after the year was over and we file our taxes and I show them how much I was able to make on the podcast, then they were like, oh yeah, you're going to have to pay us back for all of that subsidy. So that was a fun tax cycle to go through. But the people who get subsidized coverage pay very, very little. The people who were in the marketplace before the Obamacare exchanges came in, before Obamacare, people were just out there in the free market. They would buy their policies, and self-employed people and the like. And so they were out there with these policies they were paying for. They're the ones, and if you're in the exchange and you make too much money, they're the ones that are facing these kinds of subsidies, but also employer-based plans are bearing the cost of these increases. So the people who are, you know, below income levels and that sort of thing, they get all of the subsidies. To them, oh yeah, this is working out fantastic. That's why people are calling it Medicaid for All, right? Because that's what the plan has always been. It's to get government involved in it so much that nobody can think of another way this should operate, which is bizarre, because the government doesn't do this for other sectors that are, you know, quote, vital, right? They do vouchers. Well, except if you're talking about education, then it's like, oh, no, we can't do that. We can have vouchers in every other aspect of government, right? Food vouchers, Medicare, we can do all these vouchers, food stamps and stuff. But no, not for education. No vouchers for that. Right. All right, I'll go over the Cornhusker kickback and the Louisiana purchase. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com, or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies, as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? It's all a distraction on Twitter. It says, before Obamacare, I paid around $250 per month, for a family of four and a $500 deductible. $250 a month, family of four, $500 deductible. Premiums have increased every year, and now I pay almost $800 a month for myself and child, so two, and my deductible is $5,000. Family of four at $250, now two at $800. $500 deductible with the family of four, $5,000 deductible with two people. That's crazy. And that prompted a response from Lulu. It's a Pete tweet who says, my bills aren't even bills anymore. They've grown so much, I call them Williams. It's Bill, William, Bill. Okay. The cost increases are no accident, right? Sally Pipe says they were baked in from the start. Obamacare's mandates are designed to increase costs for the general population as a means of subsidizing coverage for favored groups. And this, of course, is correct. In 2023, the enrollment in the exchanges broke all sorts of records last year, with more than 16 million Americans signing up. Record enrollment is a function of the lavish premium subsidies that Democrats have used to blunt the impact of those skyrocketing premiums. Most enrollees have no idea how much their insurance costs because taxpayers are covering a lot of the tab for them. Medicaid for All. Once they sign up, they may find that their exchange plans confine them to a more narrow network, right? Limited providers that are available. You can only go to certain doctors and such. As a result, patients often have to travel long distances or wait for care, particularly in rural, less populated counties. And according to a report done in 2022 by the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, along with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they identified almost two-thirds of insurers they examined as, quote, not in compliance with network adequacy standards. So, yes, to quote Joe Biden, kind of, Obamacare has proved itself to be a big bleeping deal, but for all the wrong reasons. So 14 years ago, this was a story at legalinsurrection.com by William Jacobson, who talked about, this was 2012, okay? And he was talking about how things needed to go wrong for Obamacare to get passed. Okay, a couple different things, actually. So first off, Arlen Specter, remember him? Senator from Pennsylvania, Republican. He switched parties. That had to happen. Al Franken had to pull out a very, very slight victory. And that happened. You'll recall they found a bunch of ballots in the trunk of a car, literally, of a poll worker who was like, oh, yeah, I was on my way to drop these off at the, you know, election headquarters. And then, oh, look at that. I found all these ballots and they were all for Al Franken. So he won that U.S. Senate seat. Oh, and also Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska, I believe, he had to lose re-election just after being convicted on a corruption charge. All three of those things happened. If any one of them did not, we would not have Obamacare. So Jacobson looks only at the Stevens incident. I'm going to go into some of the others, but Ted Stevens convicted for corruption, okay? But that was later overturned. Of course, it was overturned too late to have an impact on Obamacare's passage. It was overturned for prosecutorial misconduct. But his election loss, that stood. The release of a scathing report last week, this is 2012, detailing widespread prosecutorial misconduct that botched the corruption trial of the late Senator Ted Stevens, because he died, has reignited calls to revisit the rules requiring government prosecutors to hand over evidence that could help exonerate criminal defendants. In other words, they did not turn over in discovery. They did not turn over exculpatory evidence to Ted Stevens. Stuff that would have cleared him or could have helped to clear him, helped to acquit him. The prosecution had this information and did not turn it over. The underlying cause of the derailed prosecution has been known since April 2009, when his conviction was set aside after the DOJ said that it failed to disclose evidence that would have helped the senator's defense team. Details of prosecutors' quote, willful nondisclosure in last week's report stunned legal advisors. Like, oh, how naive, people. How naive were we back in 2009, 2012, right? Oh, really? The DOJ did that? Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. The DOJ, they're just a bunch of straight shooters over there. What else? Arlen Specter. I mentioned him.
As Arlen Specter.
The U.S. House of Representatives was safely Democrat as a result of the 2008 election. Okay, Obama wins his first term. The Democrats control the House by 257 to 199. So, what, 58-seat majority. The Democrats had picked up 21 seats over the course of 2 years. But the real interesting political dynamics began in November 2008, Senate elections. Going into that election cycle, the Senate had 49 Democrats, 49 Republicans, and two independents. Bernie Sanders, who has been in the Senate since, I think, 1802, and Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, who caucused with the Democrats. They both did. When the smoke cleared from the 2008 elections, though, the Democrats had picked up 8 seats. They had a 57 to 41 seat majority, although Al Franken's recount victory didn't get official until the summer, right, because of the ballots in the trunk of the car and all. With the two independents, the Democrats were one vote shy of a supermajority magic number 60 that they needed to ward off any filibuster attempts and move forward with broad health care reform legislation. Where would it come from? Well, Arlen Specter. He changed parties, giving Senate Democrats that 60th vote. See, this is why when I hear the North Carolina Democrats screaming and crying about Trisha Cotham, I do not have the softest shoulder for them to cry upon, because Arlen Specter switched party affiliation in 2008. He became a Democrat. He gave them the supermajority in the Senate, and Democrats took over a sixth of the U.S. economy with health care. So, no, sorry. School vouchers, you know? No, they don't even hold a candle to what Democrats did when they flipped a seat like that. And then there was Ted Kennedy, who died. Remember that? Ted Kennedy died. And then, where's the 60th vote going to come from now? Because we just got 60 votes. Now what? Now what do we do? Oh, well, we're going to have a special election. Oh, okay, it'll be fine. Don't worry, it'll be fine. It's Taxachusetts. They always vote Democrat. Or do they? We will resume the trip down memory lane. I saw this story from a fella on the Twitter machine who says, when I was at Catholic high school, I had this right-wing priest who told us, everybody who was not baptized by the church goes to hell. So I raised my hand and I asked, well, does that mean that every U.S. president besides Kennedy is in hell? And the priest, without missing a beat, says, no, Kennedy is in hell also. All right. Anyway, we're talking about Obamacare. Completely unrelated topic. We're talking about Obamacare and how it just turned 14 years old. And oh, golly gee, isn't it fantastic? It's been everything that they promised it would be and then some. Right? Mark says, the funny part about... Oh, sorry, hang. There's another message prior to that. I have noticed that the better high-end doctors no longer take Medicare. And I get it because... no government paperwork saves them all kinds of headaches. The funny part about Arlen Specter was he was supposedly a law and order guy, but it turned out he was just another political scumbag. Russ says, chiming in on health insurance, pre-Obamacare, our healthy family of four paid less than $600 a month for a high deductible plan and a health savings account. $600 a month for four family members. Within 2 years, our premium was over $1,880 with higher out-of-pocket limits before contributing to the HSA. We used to pay out-of-pocket at time of service and usually got a 40% discount. Now, they don't know what to charge, and they got to run it through our insurance before it ends up back with us for repayment or for payment. The pediatrician doesn't even have the ability to accept payment in the office anymore. It's all just an expensive mess. I got another message here from Ron. My former carrier, World Insurance, exited the health insurance business in 2010 once Obamacare kicked in. They sent us a letter explaining that after 102 years in the health insurance business, they could no longer offer health insurance in the Obamacare environment. So we had Obamacare for 12 years until we reached Medicare age. The last premium that we paid before Medicare, $1,800 a month for the bronze plan. And that's the lowest. And I'm assuming that's Ron and his spouse. That's two people paying $900 a month. And they both had, he and his spouse, his wife, both had $12,600 deductible. So they each had to hit $12,600 on top of paying $1,800 a month. How is that an Affordable Care Act? Ted Kennedy died while he was in the U.S. Senate. 1 month later, so he dies, so it leaves the Democrat one vote shy of the 60 that they need to ram this thing through at the time. 1 month later, September 25th, 2009, Democrat Paul Kirk was appointed interim senator from Massachusetts to serve until the special election set for January 19th, once again giving Democrats the 60th vote. On Christmas Eve 2009, in a 60-39 vote, so remember that when we hear Democrats complaining about, oh my gosh, they passed a bill in the dead of night, right? Or the cloak of night, I should say, right? It's, it's crocodile tears from a party that used Christmas Eve to ram through Obamacare. Massachusetts then holds its special election where everybody knew Democrat Attorney General Martha Coakley would win. And then she didn't. She lost to Scott Brown by 110,000 votes. Remember that? Then there was the Cornhusker kickback. This went to Bill Nelson Ben Nelson in Nebraska, right? He was the last one to commit a series of amendments that got Florida, Louisiana, and Michigan all on board. The Cornhusker kickback, the purchase of Mary Landrieu's vote down in Louisiana was the Louisiana purchase. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.